all kinds of advice.
Real sweet song. hey, everybody, welcome to As It Is. Happy Wednesday. Let's see where we are. Let me talk about. I'm sorry, I got distracted. Tom came in and handed me something, but I love that song. I love how he's really talking about, not needing to do what we've always done, right? And just, you know, be in the middle of the muck and the whatever, mire and, you know, the whole, you know. And it's just really cool because the people are going, what are you doing? To hear the words of the song, they're asking him, man, what are you doing? You had it made, you know. What are you giving up? Your career? You're falling down on the job? What are you being lazy? It's a great song. I love, though, how he says, I tell them there's no problems, only solutions. And that there's no hurry. I'm just sitting here doing time. I mean, you know, just watching the wheels go round and round. That is a lovely aspiration. Yeah. Dreaming my life away. Yeah. Yeah, now Tom's gone again. I am just going to. I got to tell you guys that I was just so impacted by this past weekend gentle healing, and it was really interesting to me to see. Even before I realized where we were going with gentle healing, it felt like this week to see inner wisdom leading me in that same direction in my contemplations. So, and I've said it here before and I've heard others say it before. Man, that's a real game changer, but it feels like a game changer. Yeah. Yeah, Cheryl says, I feel a release. Absolutely. I'm laughing more. Joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, right? Like we used to sing in Sunday school. I'm joy, 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 down in my heart. So I'm just going to read to you from some journaling I did last week. Yeah, and I did some of this on the speaker spotlight last whatever night that was. Heck, I don't know, last Sunday, I guess. So if you've heard it before, I apologize, but I know that when I finished up, I just read this last journal entry as opposed to, any introspection, any further introspection about it. So I'm just going to start with that. And Anne talked about this morning. Kathy talked about this. So anyway, I'm contemplating this line from The Thought of Awakening. I don't know what the day is. Both those guys, I think, said it earlier, but anyway, both those girls, excuse me. The line is, "I don't know who I am," is a helpful response to any thought that tries to define who you are. Writing with inner wisdom, we wrote, "You imagine that there are specific characteristics you adhere to or subscribe to because that is just who you are. You use these characteristics to define yourself and to orient yourself to the events occurring around you." And I did, I talked it, embarrassing. Somebody wants to tell me. Yeah, I know, ego. Thank you. That was embarrassing. I told that whole saga of, personality tweaks that had been seen by Regina, and I'm like, what? I'm great the way I am. I did that on Sunday. So this is kind of a continuation of that. So you imagine that there are specific characteristics you adhere to or subscribe to because that is just who you are, in quotes. You use these characteristics to define yourself and to orient yourself to the events occurring around you. This self-identification is as unconscious to you as breathing. And we've talked in the past about how, at least conceptually, this thought has come in about how, and there's some level of resonance, or I wouldn't have, just feels like I have spent a long time with this thought that I'm getting ready to share. And that is that every thought either builds or supports this separate sense of self. Every thought. I think part of the trick, part of what's helpful is to slow down the thoughts enough so that they can be exposed for what they are, which is, image builders. And just to see that, other than defining who I am, pretty useless, pretty meaningless, right? I've said that, so I'll go on and read. This self-identification is as unconscious to you as breathing. This is how you have always done it. You are called now to see where these connections are being made. The call is to be aware of the movement towards or away from thoughts that tell you who you are or who you are not. The call is to allow yourself to remain undefined. Your preferences and beliefs about yourself are self-limiting. Your thoughts and beliefs about yourself are simply untrue. They are a means of avoiding the discovery of the truth of yourself. be in this moment without reference to the you of a moment ago, of yesterday, of your seeming lifetime. This is the direction in which you have been faced. This is the movement you claim as the natural way of being. Again, oh, that's just how I am. You know, huh, I'm quirky like that, right? Whatever. But that's what this is directly referring to, is that whole, oh, I'm okay. I don't need to change anything. I'm just quirky. It's just natural, right? This is, in fact, the distraction. Yeah, so that really seems like a shift right there, a paradigm shift, right? It's like, no, it's not just who you are. These thoughts that you, the stories that you spin about who you are the distraction. Let go the self as a point of reference. Paul Hederman talked about selfing, right? Paul Hederman talked about selfing, and this is what he was talking about, how you bring everything back to refer to yourself. I mean, if you listen to any of the teachers, this is what they're talking about. Jack O'Keefe talks about it in terms of the stories you tell about yourself. One of the women that went to India with us talked about, I'm like, well, you know, what was your experience of awakening? And she responded that, she'd been studying for a while or whatever, and one day she was sitting with a bunch of other students, and they were sitting around this table, and, you know, it must have been a new group of students, I think. But they were all telling about, their background and what they'd learned and what they, thought that they grokked about, spirituality and the awakening and the awakening process and all that. And she said that when it came to her turn to speak, she looked within, she looked where we normally look when we're going to tell the story about ourselves, and she said there was nothing there. There was no self to reference. I have heard it described that way many, many times. I think I was looking at Adi Ashanti's book, The End of Your World, and he said something similar. It's that, as the concepts have told us, it's not, you're not... the ego will never get this because the ego doesn't awaken. It's awakening from ego, awakening from the false self. It's awakening from the stories and going, well, that's not right. I mean, that's the story I've been telling for 50, I never can remember how old I am. That's the story I've been telling for 56 years, but there's no real self there. And, and we talked in terms of becoming the observer last night when we were looking at NTI. And, how we move out of that belief that those stories are true. Good, bad, whatever. It's just how I am. Quirky, haha. All of that. We quit giving our believing attention to that. Because that is the distraction, because that's not who we are, because that is self-limiting. So we move from the stories to the experience. And I think that's what last week in Gentle Healing was about. This is, in fact, the distraction. Let go the self as a point of reference. The person, quote-unquote person, you have cobbled together is no more than a set of preferences strung together to form a mirage of continuity. It's who I was yesterday, it's who I'll be tomorrow. That continuity that seems to give me a sense of security, a sense of existence. You are not that. You are the one who chooses what to focus attention upon. Learning to focus on nothing is the means of letting go of continually collecting the structures upon which your belief in personhood rests. Learning to focus on nothing. How about that? What? How do I do that? I mean, and that's, of course, that's the advice, isn't it, right? Rest. That's how you do that. Rest. Rest the stories. Rest the mind. This is why you are asked to surrender to me with questions like, how am I to be now? Your self-selected moods of being merely reinforce that which you have determined be. That's amazing, right? I mean, I keep telling the stories and I keep believing them. I've made that decision. That's what I've determined I am. That's who I've determined to be. You know, warts and all, as we sometimes say. But by continuing to focus on those things, by continuing to believe those things, I'm continuing the illusion that that's what I am. Yeah, I know that I don't know, Cheryl says. Yeah. Inner Wisdom says, because you do not know that which you are, your attempt to conform your present experience to what you think you are blocks your experience of reality. This is why it is necessary to let go your moorings and simply rest within not knowing what anything means. Definition is distraction. Definition is self-imposed limitation. Willingly surrender your definitions. Be willing to let me show you the truth of you. Watch for definitions or limits you would place on experience. Just be. And what comes to me right this second is, again, I did that whole, you know, all the awful things. I'm looking for the notes on that. I don't see it. What are the all the awful things I'm believing about myself? Inner Wisdom led me through that, and I shared that last Sunday. You know, just as, oh, I'm just quirky and that's who I am, just as how I listen to those stories and believe them, whatever the quirks are, right? I'm also listening to those I am bad stories. You can't, I can't, I don't know about the rest of the world. I don't know how it works for you guys. But for me, at least, I can't believe the, hey, I'm great, ain't she cool, without believing the, no, not really. Really, she's making it up. She's not getting it right, right? You know, no, I'm whatever. And I can't find that where I wrote those things down. But you know, that my defenses showed the truth of what I was believing, which were things like she's not responsible. You know, she. She's lazy and whatever those awful things are. The whole point is that it's to look, just look where the definitions are. Look where you go, oh, this means this about me, and that means, you know, it doesn't. And I have told you all many times about that line that from The Matrix, where, gosh, funny, I can't think of her name right. Trinity tells Neo, he says whatever he says, and he's, you know, I used to eat noodles there, and you know, and none of it was real. What does that mean? And she says it means the Matrix cannot tell you who you are. Right, these thoughts about the world I find myself in, and the stories that I tell about myself cannot tell me who I am. The only thing that can do that is the spaciousness, the wide open space, right? living in that space, in the heart space, and getting out of the head. So after my sharing on Sunday, Anne and I spoke about this, and she said some things, and I went, "Ha! Huh, maybe I should look at that some more." Anyway, I wrote, "I have received feedback that when I shared this whole deeper look at the I am bad feelings and fears, that I did not transcend them, that I continued to believe them as I shared what I felt, my questions about what I felt, and inner wisdom's responses. I am sure this is true. In fact, when I woke up this morning, I experienced a shame or vulnerability hangover, as in, oh my God, I can't believe I said all that in front of people. What would you share with me about this? Is there something I should be doing that I'm not doing? I am practicing by sitting with the discomfort when I fit, trying not to feel the sensations, but just notice them, listening for when I am agreeing I am bad, fear thoughts. And inner wisdom said, just continue to be aware. Look for those places, persons, or circumstances that tempt you to either repress what you are feeling or to deny it. Continue to remain open and rest in your willingness. Use of your mantra, I am that I am, will assist you in this." And after writing that, I said, it's funny now because I'm like, clearly resistance, but that's okay. After writing that, I said, "None of this feels genuine. It feels as if I am simply regurgitating what I think I have learned and what you have shared with me in the past. Can you help me get past my disbelief?" And again, that morning, Ann and I had talked about advice she had gotten from a fellow Mighty Companion that, you know, when you encounter this resistance, sometimes you just got to spend time in the room. You know, you just got to sit there with a hand or ready to type on the keyboard. So, inner wisdom said, "The advice to stay with me despite resistance or discomfort is good advice." Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. Paying attention to self-talk. Yes. "The advice to stay with me despite resistance or discomfort is good advice." and this is great, because then now Holy Spirit, inner wisdom, leads me through an exercise, which was just really, really cool. "You are feeling agitation right this minute." And it was funny because right before I came back in to write with inner wisdom again, some guy showed up at the door. I had been on the phone. He waited till I got off the phone. I invited him in. He wanted to sell us solar power. Since Tom is here visiting, I just let Tom talk to him because, I mean, I could see the minutes ticking away, and it was a work day, right? So I was agitated. So anyway, we used that opportunity to really look at this. So inner wisdom says, "You are feeling agitation right this minute. Can you see how you are pushing that away? You cannot rid yourself of discomfort by pushing it away. Just sit with the agitation for a moment." And the thing was, you know, I didn't recognize. I mean, I knew I was irritated, a little agitated with the guy. It's like, come on. But I didn't also see the move to push it away. To want to get rid of it. So, again, inner wisdom counsel, just sit with the agitation for a moment. And I did. And I wrote, "I found that helpful. I do notice that the agitation is still present. I also notice, however, that it only feels like agitation when I think I have to get rid of it. It becomes less tolerable, as if the very thought that it needs to be rejected makes its rejection necessary." It's so funny because, you know, I was believing it. So it's all of a piece, right? Just feeling the agitation and not wanting to feel the agitation made me agitated. So let me just go on. Inner wisdom said, "This is a good catch, an exciting discovery. This is quick time, real time realization of the truth that you have only begun to contemplate in conceptual terms. It is perhaps good to have the background so that you may speak about it, but having the experience removes all ambiguity." And I just love that, you know, to just really see that, you know, how I normally deal with emotions or don't deal with them is really the truth, right? And to see how just allowing them to be, well, it's certainly preferable, right? Just, you know, being with that agitation and feeling what it felt like in my throat and my breathing and just how it felt in the body. Without the desire to get rid of it, and contrasting that with, again, my normal treatment of these emotions. Ooh, agitation, I don't want to, ugh, let me just like get rid of that. And how different that was, and how one fed itself, and the other just allowed it to pass through. And so, you know, we've talked about that many, many times, but really, having that direct experience removed all ambiguity about what it's like to just experience, to just be with the feeling. You know, again, we've talked about being with our feelings many, you know, rest, accept, and trust. How do you do that? Okay, you quit telling the story, and you know, of course, what I think I've been doing was like white knuckling it, or agitation, or agitation, or agitation, right? But that was because I was naming it agitation. I was naming it as something undesirable. I was naming it as something that needed to be different, needed to be gotten rid of. So to just sit with it without needing to change it, or as NTI told us, in the heart, right? Without feeling guilty for feeling that way, without needing it to be any different. Then I could just experience the experience and let it pass. You know, not with the motive to have it pass, because that would be the same thing. That would be wanting it to be different. But then it wasn't something that was like, ooh, icky, sticky, I got to get this off my, right? It wasn't like that anymore. Once I would just bead with it. Yeah, it's an experience and nothing more, exactly. Yeah, having the experience removes all ambiguity. It is indeed like trying to explain color to a blind man, or to taste, or taste to one who has not tasted. This is the genuineness we want to look for in our practices. Anything else is simply tossing around concepts. Where can we apply what we are learning? The treasure hunt is on. And it's just, you know, this is all exciting. Isn't that great? It's like, oh my God, I did that with agitation. What can I, you know, what can I sit with next? Not how can I suffer through this? How can I grit my teeth? How can I hang on long enough to do this? How can I go through the exercises that inner wisdom tells me I must? No. Gosh, this is really cool. The treasure hunt is on. Yeah, pick me, pick me. This is the excitement that begets gratitude for all things. Yay, experience. When you find a hidden treasure, that is, when you experience any, all caps, any, discomfort, bring it to me and we will look at it together. Wow. The hunt is on. Okay, and let me just read you the next part. I said, you know, I'm like, oh yay, excitement, okay. And then immediately, here's what came. I am fearful that I will do poorly when facilitating gentle healing. This fear is felt like a stabbing sensation in my upper left chest. This fear arose just after the excitement in the treasure hunt idea. Cheryl's giving us a visual, the donkey in Shrek. Oh, jumping up and down. No, I hear you, Cheryl. I know. I'm just being honest. Cheryl thinks that's crap and I should let it go. No question. But though that was the symptom that was immediately there, and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. So, I'm fearful that I will do poorly when facilitating gentle healing. This fear is felt like a stabbing sensation in my upper left chest. This fear arose just after the excitement in the treasure hunt idea. It seems that this is either something I am hiding from myself or ego's rejoinder to my excitement. Like, wait, don't forget about this looming burden. And inner wisdom says, you noticed that. Do you also see that you want to double down on the fear by blaming yourself for feeling it? It's like fear. Oops, I didn't mean to think that. Daggone it, I thought that, right? I'm trying to be, whatever, unaffected, all whatever, peaceful. So, anyway, let me finish. Do you also see that you want to double down on the fear by blaming yourself for feeling it? Do you see that the impulse must be then to deny that you feel it in the first place? This is what is meant by praise your mistakes. Let them come out and be seen that they are not quickly believed and then repressed. You create the dragons that must be slayed. If you catch them in the creation stage, you don't have to wait until they are made bigger and stronger by the investment of belief and energy through the process of believing and repressing, which is your current habit. Rejoice. Yeah, a couple things. I realized that I read this last night, so that may sound really familiar, but it doesn't hurt to look at it again. But the interesting thing is, again, it's like, slowdown that we've talked about in the past. I remember hearing this idea for the first time from Regina when she was talking about how she used to scream at Jasmine, and her willingness to heal allowed, she's like, it just happens, right? Her willingness to heal allowed her to see the thoughts that preceded the yelling at Jasmine, right? So it's just this that same idea. Like, it slows down this what seems like a knee-jerk, a natural process, so that you can see the stories that you're believing. So my habit has been. My habitual way of being has been to have the thought, to blame myself for having the thought, and then repress it so that I don't, so I don't have to quote unquote carry the guilt. Of course, what are you doing when you're repressing it, buddy? You're carrying the guilt. You are packing your bags full of guilt. Again, it's like it just dovetails with this whole idea of this whole new habit. Catching the emotion at its inception and then just being with the emotion. I mean, who cares what the stories are? None of that's true anyway. Let me just be with this emotion. Yes, when we love an experience, it moves through us. Yeah. That's good. Kathy says, packing your bags with old underwear. Amen, right? Oh, that's great. This says, if you catch, you create the dragons that must be slayed. If you catch them in the creation stage, you don't have to wait until they are made bigger and stronger by the investment of belief and energy through the process of believing and repressing, which is your current habit. Rejoice, we are on a roll now. Be gentle with yourself. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. I will not leave you, nor leave you comfortless. Let's look at everything. I am so pleased to be on this journey with you. You have all my blessings, all my love, and all my strength. Here we go. And there was another, it seems like there was another one. Let me see if I can, or maybe I've looked at all of them, but let me just double check. Sorry. No, that was, looks like that was the last message, but I can see now the draw to, I can see the difference. I can see the different habit, the draw to go, what was that? You know, I talked about when I taught on Sunday night, I talked about, everybody going, aren't you nervous to be going to see the bankruptcy attorney? And me going, what? But then, you know, feeling that nervousness and realizing the stories that were being told underneath it. And I'm going through this again just to say that I can see very clearly the old habit, the repression, right? If you'd asked me 2 weeks ago if that's what I did, I'd have said, no, I'm all into this healing thing. No. Me and Holy Spirit, me and inner wisdom, we look at this together, and it's, but that's not what was going on. I'm grateful to have it slowed down so that I can see that. And I'm grateful for the excitement around. So now it seems as if, you know, I can feel that, you know, that, that really quick contraction that occurs. And it is a treasure hunt. Then I can go, oh, okay, what was that? Right? And then just be with it. You know, and while the advice is, and it's clear and it's good advice, while the advice is not to tell stories about why you're feeling that way, or you know, not to attribute it to anything in the world, and just be with it. What I'm finding is that, you know, so I have that quick contraction, and see, that's before that would be the point at which I would repress it, and I'd be like, I don't know what that was. I'm not going to worry about it, right? but that's not being with it. So what I'm finding is that when I feel that contraction, that stab of fear or anxiety, now I'm noticing that, and I see immediately the story that goes along with that. And then I can just be with the feeling. But before, I wasn't seeing the stories. I was just like, ooh, yuck, that's an icky feeling. Bam. Onto the next task. Without ever slowing down enough to get it. So, you know, in that way, Anne was talking about this morning, root cause inquiry. In that way, it's a lot like root cause inquiry, right? So when we do root cause inquiry, we do a one sentence, you know, why do I feel whatever? Why do I feel a contraction? Oh, because I just thought about whatever. Having to go see the lawyer. This morning it happened with, and this is bizarre, this morning it happened with, ooh, I haven't gotten the tags for my truck yet. They still say Indiana, and, you know, they're really supposed to say Colorado, right? And it was a real quick I am bad thought, right? But before I would have just felt the stabbing going, huh, yuck, yeah, right? But my mind is still telling itself those stories, and I am still believing them, or else I wouldn't have that stab of pain. So again, so it's like now I feel a stab of pain, and I'm like, what was that? Oh, yeah, I did just look at the truck, and okay. And so I get the story, and then I can just be with that tightness in my solar plexus or wherever I happen to be experiencing it. It's funny because it's funny because fear seems to strike up around the top of my chest and in my shoulders. The I am bad has its own little spot. But again, I don't want to be sitting around going, oh, that's what that is, and that's what, because again, it's the idea, the exercise is just to be with it, not to say, oh, I know that's fear because I felt it in my shoulder, right? Yeah, I just want to be in that, I just want to be in that I don't know mind, that we started with. I don't know who I am is a helpful response to any thought that tries to define who you are. And as we saw, as all of these unconscious thoughts try to define who we are. I've been using them to tell myself who I am. I'm bad. I'm quirky. I'm cool. I'm hip. I mean, whatever. I'm smart. And again, as my sister Connie always says, ego doesn't care whether you're listening to the story, I'm a good mother, I'm a bad mother, as long as you have, an identity in that one way or the other. So when I'm so to confront those stories with the no no, that's not true. I don't know who I am. That's what this wide open space, this spaciousness allows. If I'm not trying to figure out what the feeling means, what it says about me, how to get rid of it, how to improve myself so to have those feelings, then I can just be. I can be. I can be in the experience of who I am. Yeah, don't forget to laugh. I think that's great advice, Kathy. It's like, again, be sure and leave the out of this, right? And it is, and you know what? It's hilarious that I would look at my truck and go, oh, I haven't gotten the tags yet, and therefore I am bad. I mean, this whole story told in like. In such a heartbeat that if I wasn't looking, I'd miss it. But I would believe every minute of it. I would believe the fact that I looked at my trucks and remembered I hadn't changed the tags yet made me bad. Crazy, right? Yeah. Again, I haven't done the journaling today. I will say that my next task is to my next task. Yeah, let's all get serious. But all right. I got like two lines, and I'm sure I'll read them to you again next time, but I I think they have some import for me here and what I ought to be doing. I asked this morning, how would you guide me in practice? Learn to experience fully with pure awareness. I said, also, and I thought these were unconnected, but I can see very clearly by looking at these questions that they're not unconnected. Also, and I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget that I wanted to sit with inner wisdom. So, how would you guide me in practice to learn to experience fully with pure awareness? Also, I want to look at the general anxiety that I feel upon awakening in the morning. And inner wisdom had only begun to respond before I got called away to other tasks. But inner wisdom said, remember to sit with me when you detect discomfort. Don't wait until quote unquote practice time to experience the experience. Be with it as it arises. All right? Don't let it get the foothold that it might otherwise get. So funny when I just read this to you guys. As I read it, it must be connected to I Am Bad. Again, I don't want to assign meaning, but man, that place in my right up by my clavicle. Just I don't know. I can feel that. I can just feel it. I had a stab of something. So, but the thing is, it's not like it's going to be a chore to look at. It's, not a duty, not I do it so that I can get somewhere I want to go. Oh, okay, I'm doing this practice so I can become enlightened. No. I'm on the treasure hunt. I am excited to be with experience. Yeah, it's a game changer. So I'm rambling. I apologize for rambling. I am going to, I know there's a few minutes left, but I'm going to let go of the mic and quit rambling and be with this experience. But thank you all for your wisdom, for the spaciousness that you allow, for being my mighty companions. I love you all, and I will see you next time.
I spent a long time running. I never knew then what I know now. That the fruits, they always come in, but you can't go around just knocking them down. It takes a long time to show in. We plant the seeds then and we look at them now. But the roots are always growing, no matter if I'm there or never around. Whatever grows will grow, whatever dies will die, whatever works will work, whatever flies will fly, whatever fails will fail, what's meant to soar will soar. I am planting seeds, nothing
it's like
more.
Your whole life. You've been training for this moment, and when the time comes, you just disown it, meaning you just surrender, don't control it, not interested in the clay pots and mold it, or sitting next to the path trying to unfold it, or waiting for the fruits to fall down toward you, let it go, and now you're flowing, feeling quite gorgeous, so you take steps away instead of towards it. What a rush, feeling freedom with nothing to hold. We've been taught that what you touch will always turn to gold, and now we're learning when we let it go, it overflows with no credit to take, because no credit is home. A higher power working deeper with the seeds are sowed, and when the seeds are true, then there's seeds of gold. But the real gold is joy when life starts to flow, and when it does, you just smile, cause now you know.
I spent a long time running, I never knew then what I know now. Let the fruits, they always come in, but you can't go around just knocking them down. It takes a long time to show in. We plant the seeds then and we look at them now. But the roots are always growing, no matter if I'm there or never around.
Whatever grows will grow, whatever dies will die, whatever works will work, whatever flies will fly, whatever fails will fail, what's meant to sow will sow. I am planting seeds.
Whatever grows,
yep,
will grow.
When it grows, it grows.
Whatever dies will die.
And when it dies, it dies.
Whatever
come on.
Works, will
if it works, it works.
Whatever flies will
let it fly, let it
whatever
fly.
Whatever